This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep.
This is a Game Informer special edition podcast. It's on our most current cover story, Portal 2. And joining me are some of the lucky folks from Game Informer that were able to go out and check out Portal 2, including Megan Van Berkelio, who wrote our cover story.
Hello.
Dan Reichert.
Hey, Matt.
And Ben Reeves.
Hello, hello.
So basically the idea is we've been posting a lot of stuff all month on Portal 2, and it's generated a lot of questions from our readers about the game. So we thought we'd just take this opportunity to solicit questions on GameInformer.com, and now we're going to attempt to answer your questions to the best of our ability. So I guess we will just get right into it. The first question is from Wampa King. Is there competitive multiplayer?
That one's easy to answer. No.
There's not.
No.
Or at least, if there is, they're not talking about it.
Yeah, they're hiding it pretty well.
There will likely not be, since Portal is more of a puzzle game than a
competitive
than
puzzle
game.
Solving.
Yeah, it would not work.
So
the co-op, it's limited to the co-op. That's the big change this time. So
yeah. So well, that was an easy one. Mm-hmm. We'll keep
there'll be
rolling.
A couple of those no ones.
The next one is from JPow11, who asks: is Chell still going to be mute, or will she actually have dialogue for this full retail game?
This is when we answered in the magazine. Actually, they were very adamant about the fact that they like even more so than, you know, in Half-Life, they want you to be the protagonist. They don't want to kind of take away from that. So as far as we know, Chell is still going to be silent. They want to kind of work on that relationship between you as the player and GLaDOS.
I think there's going to be more dialogue in this one, though, thanks to the new personality spheres they're putting in. So that should add some new characters to the mix.
And what are, just for people that might not have read it, what are those personality spheres?
It's basically at the end of the first one where it showed the cake, you saw all those spheres lighting up, and it was the same things that you took off GLaDOS at the end of the first portal. And they're just kind of loose in the facility this time. They all have different personalities, and they'll follow you around and help you out.
Cool.
Yeah. GLaDOS is returning for those who didn't read the story. It's coming back. More GLaDOS dialogue, but no Chell dialogue.
No.
The next question comes from Vote for Pedro. Are there going to be added functions to the portal gun, maybe like a third portal or something along those lines?
No, there won't. They actually, Valve talked about they didn't want to get too elaborate with the portal gun because they thought it was nice and simple and it worked really well. They didn't want to make it overly complicated. And so really the added functionality will be the world itself.
Chambers, puzzles, stuff like that. I think they said that they want the portal gun to remain your best way of communicating with the environment, and the best way to communicate with the environment is through two connecting portals, and leave the gun alone and leave it at that.
Yeah.
So,
plus, wouldn't you? You almost need like another dimension.
Yeah,
right,
I know. To introduce an entire new dimension.
How
to
would you do three?
To the gameplay. Yeah.
Would you come out of? I don't know. But the
one's just aesthetics.
It's just there. The added functionality does come from things that can pass through the portal, like suction and teleporter beams now pass through portals and
the portal
kind
physics
of work in interesting ways. So if there is an addition to the portal gun, it's that, but that's not really
inherent
addition,
to
I don't
the
think,
actual
it's
gun
just
itself.
A tweak to the physics.
Mm-hmm. The next question actually comes from one of the biggest trolls on the Game Informer website. Some guy by the name of Joe Juba wants to know.
What a chump.
Yeah. I thought we banned him.
I
thought we IP banned Joe, but I guess not.
Bad penny.
Before the cover story, there were a bunch of details from a supposedly leaked script of the game. Excuse me, like some old Aperture founder who had transplanted his personality into an AI type being. Was any of that true, as far as you know?
There was. I actually looked into this just to make sure all our facts were straight. There was a message. Kotaku had a story, and I think, like they had said, Cave Johnson, the founder of Aperture Science, was going to be in Portal 2, and he was going to be a major antagonist. Mm-hmm. And they also said something like, you're leaving the portal facility and going out abroad. And those aren't actually true. Like we said, GLaDOS is still the main antagonist. And Cave Johnson there was a leaked script that Cave Johnson's in it, and that's still a possibility, but he probably won't be the main bad guy. We kind of, we were discussing.
We think that he's going to be a personality core. I mean, he's kind of eccentric, crazy. I mean, it would make sense that he would have put some sort of personality into one of the spheres as, like, to carry on his legacy or something like that.
Andrew Ryan type figure.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they made it obvious that GLaDOS is your antagonist, and I don't know if the cave, I mean, we asked them about that when we were actually at Valve also, and we asked about the leaked script, and they said, take what you want from that, but everything that, you know, we've said and shown here is paramount, like, that's the truth, so.
Okay. The other, the second half to that, how people thought Cho would be leaving the facility is because of all the plants in the early concept art. You could see plants everywhere. That's really just because after science, yeah, it's 100 years in the future, and nature has started to take over the facility again, so plants are overgrowing everything. And so those are the plants you're seeing. It's not, you haven't left the facility, it's just nature has come into the facility.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that they would have you running around out in a jungle or something like that, because that would drastically change the way that you interact with the environment and drastically change the way you use portals. I mean, if you don't have those restrictive surfaces that they use on the surface walls and stuff, the puzzles, I don't think would function as well. So, I mean, it's interesting, and I really like, from, you know, the visual standpoint, I really like the juxtaposition of, like, the organic stuff with and the decay with, like, the clean labs. But I think that that is just to show passage of time and all that kind of stuff.
So as far as we know, there
aren't
any...
As far as we know, you're not, like, going world travel, you know, anything like that.
Gotcha.
And also, GLaDOS is in the facility, and so I don't... If you go into a forest, how is she going to be, like, floating around in the forest? That seems kind of weird.
Yeah, not to say we don't know if Chell's ever going to escape or anything like that, but as far as gameplay is concerned, it's the labs again. She's got her back in that loop of testing and testing and testing. So,
Jimmy Kidd asks, will there be any other weapons besides the portal gun? That would be awesome if I could headshot a stupid sniper while behind cover.
They're bringing in the cerebral boar from Turok 2, actually.
I didn't know that there were any snipers to take out in this game. No.
So there are no other weapons. I mean, it is kind of portal. That might, if you just start shooting guys with, like, a chain gun, that might get a little ridiculous.
Out of hand.
Adam Santini asks, will there be any dual-wielding portal guns? Maybe using the bumper buttons and the triggers to alternate blue and orange portals for both guns.
We touched on that with the changed functionality. You know, you have one gun, that's the way you communicate with the environment, two portals. In co-op, you each get a set of portals. So there are two portal guns, and you can go through each other's portals. But no, I can't see any dual wielding in your future.
No.
And kind of tying off that point, Matthew Liu asks, will there be more than one human in the game? Which I would assume he means the co-op, or...
Yeah.
No. Actually, they have said that Chell is the only person with arms and legs that's walking around the facility. And even in co-op, you're not playing other humans, you're playing robots.
Okay. Yep. When we heard co-op, we initially were like, who's it going to be? You know, we thought maybe it was the Rat Man, or maybe it was Cave Johnson, or any of these on their number. But no, it's definitely... The co-op are two bots that were created from a personality core and a turret. And we asked explicitly, and Valve said, as far as you, the player, knows, and as far as Chell knows, there are no other humans alive. Okay. And they wouldn't, I mean, like, they didn't even say if that's in the facility or if that's anywhere, or, you know, I mean, Chell is the only, or, you know, living human.
Right. And I think maybe we should just clarify that, you know, we're kind of speaking on what you guys were told.
Right.
This, there could be some weird surprise ending that Valve is keeping a secret.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've got to keep some of that stuff.
Yeah, when we talk about
for the actual player.
Certain things, if it's contradicted later, it's just we're answering to the best of our ability that we know right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't show us the whole game. We tried to push that.
We saw all of it.
They wouldn't show
I'm
us.
Kidding.
You beat it.
It was amazing.
The next question is Daffy Dillinger. I kind of like that name. That's a good one.
I know.
Is it going to be for PS3? Please say yes.
Sorry.
I'd like to say yes.
What we know is what we put in the magazine, that it's PC, Mac, and 360, and we know nothing to the contrary.
Man, even Mac's getting it for PS3.
Yeah,
I know. That's a kick in the nuts right there, man. Wow.
Sorry, PS3 owners.
So sorry.
Sorry.
I was asked to join a Facebook protest page.
Those are very effective.
For bringing Portal 2 to the PS3. They're like, we're not above using your status to our advantage.
And I bet I can get a million people that want Portal 2 to be on PS3. Become a fan. The next question, Seth Turner asks, how does the world of Porter and Aperture Labs tie into the rest of the Half-Life world, if it even does?
Mm-hmm.
Which, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting. I did an interview with Eric Wolpa, the main writer for Portal 1, and he's working on Portal 2, and about this very topic, we actually wrote a feature story online, which you can go and read. Portal does tie into the Half-Life universe, and it basically ties in because when they were working on Portal 1, they were worried that they didn't have a large enough team to do all new art assets, so they just used some from Half-Life.
The original game it was based off of, Narbacular Drop, was actually very fantasy-oriented. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, a cave and a demon and...
It was kind of a castle environment. The portals were like a face
with glowing eyes and stuff like that. So yeah, the assets for that were taken from the Half-Life universe.
So it was very different, but it was kind of a necessity that they had to go off the Half-Life universe, and then they decided to write the Portal universe in the Half-Life universe, but at the same time, they kept it very loose because Portal's tone is very mm-hmm. different from Half-Life's tone. So I don't think that we're going to see... like G-Man or
I think
Gordon
they said that they're not going to explore any more connections in this.
Yeah, they might do a few references, but it's not going to be more bleeding. We won't see any more of that.
Right. Actually, the next question is a bit sort of sub question to this. D-Money09 asks, at what point in the Half-Life series are the Portal games happening? Do you guys know?
They said that this Portal 2 takes quote place well after Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so this is in the future of the universe.
We don't really want to commit to anything because...
Yeah, again, they didn't want to, like you were saying, commit to anything just because they want to keep the ties loose. So the first Portal takes place sometime after some of the events in Half-Life 2, but...
This one's well in the future.
Could be a year after or whatever, but yeah. Portal 2, hundreds of years later, so...
Yeah.
Cool. Travis Williamson asks, any chance we will see Portal 2 appearing in an orange box type collection? I'm sure any of us playing Team Fortress 2 on console would love to see the PC maps brought over. And what the heck, how about Half-Life Episode 2, Episode 3?
Not that we know of. They were really stressing this time around that Portal 2 is a standalone full retail release, that it is a product that does not need to be put into a box set because they're putting their full weight behind it. They have, you know... They're investing everything in it this time, and last time Portal was an experiment, and this time, you know, they're banking on it. So
we can expect it's going to be...
I mean, we can't say in the future that they wouldn't do that later when all the games are discounted or something as a bundle, but this is going to be a standalone retail release.
But the first one, I mean, you could knock it out in, what, three hours.
Once you know the puzzles, you can speed
I think I was probably like 5-6 because I'm kind of dumb at puzzles. But
first time it took me a lot longer.
But I mean, we can expect this one to be significantly longer.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't commit. I mean, it's really hard with puzzle games to commit to an hour count because people do differ so much on how quickly they're able to do that. But they said that the single player campaign alone will be significantly longer than the original. And then on top of that, there is a second campaign for co-op. So, I mean, this should be... lengthy, I would think.
That's certainly good news. Imbalance asks, what was your favorite toy as a child? Ask each member of the team. I don't know why we're doing this, but apparently you wrote it on this sheet of paper, Ben.
Yeah,
so,
I know. Ben evidently has something he wants to talk about. I don't know. I'm not prepared.
NES or something.
You're real pro, Ben. Yeah. That's what I love about you.
Really shoot from the hip. I don't know. Back before I played games, I played outside.
Ben says outside.
I had the Technodrome from Ninja Turtles, the big Shredder's base with the eye on top that would roll down and knock down the turtles.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my favorite.
That's cool. Megan?
I'm just going to say my NES. That got me
NES.
Through.
My I'll say my Hoth Ice Planet Star Wars stuff. Nice. That I had my little play sets for Star Wars figures. Okay.
On to the next question.
Yeah, that was great. Napster851 asks, will there be another song, awesome song, during the credits? And for those of you that didn't know, you heard a little bit at the beginning, and we'll let it play in full at the end, but it was Still Alive, which is, I mean, in a way, it was, I don't know, probably the best, like, original video game song ever in some ways.
It took on a life of its own, that's for sure.
It actually kind of, I think, played a role in the game, even kind of getting known, which is rare, I think, for a soundtrack song in a video game. So did they say anything about that? Because obviously they got
Ben's got the info on this one.
They did talk a bit about the songs. They have Jonathan Colton, who did the Stay Alive for the first game. He will be back, and he'll be doing more songs. So
they said that
I think
they
want to at least two. Maybe
yeah,
three.
I mean, they said
that
they're going to guarantee end with a song again. That they don't think that they could avoid that this time,
right.
But that because the song was received so well in the first game, that they really want to work music into the game in an unexpected way. And so, in our demo, there was one point in time that GLaDOS, you went to a test chamber, and she like wanted to punish you for something. So she just said, "Smooth jazz will commence in 5, 4, 3 and then like instead of filling the chamber with neurotoxins, she started playing smooth jazz. And that was, I mean, they said that was like one of the less, you know, I mean, that wasn't
less significant,
less
there'd
significant ones, but it was still really, yeah. It caught us off guard and it was really funny. So, I mean, Jonathan Colton's involved in a much bigger way this time.
So you can probably expect another credit song, but then there may be other points in the game where we can have other songs injected into the game.
Yeah, they're going to use him more this time,
which will be fun. And we ran an interview with Jonathan Colton online, which is actually pretty good. If you guys are interested in learning more, check out the interview.
Cool. Jeedman Jones asks, did you find out the story of who was living kind of on the interior walls that were scribbling "the cake is a lie," kind of all the graffiti that you would find in the sort of hidden areas of the first game? Did you guys find anything about those?
They didn't, and that's Ratman.
Yeah,
I mean, they
Ratman.
Didn't talk much more about him. I don't think that they actually ever explicitly said his name in the game. I think that it was another one of those instances like Chell that they found out what he was called by digging around behind the scenes, and they found the file, the asset names.
There's an achievement name on 360 at least,
oh, yeah,
where it's
yeah,
for
yeah.
finding the
it Ratman
den. Yeah. Yep.
But Valve does like him. I got that sense, and they did mention that there will probably be more Ratman. Maybe not Ratman. You won't meet him necessarily, but more scribbles, more.
Didn't they say at one point that like it was evident, it'll be evident that he was still alive after the events? I mean, like, not that he's alive now, but that after the whole, what did we decide to call it, GLaDOS Vortex thing?
Yeah.
After that whole thing at
the end of Portal,
that like he had survived and that he had carried on for a period of time. Now, this is hundreds of years in the future. We don't expect him to still be around, but I think that's just their way of saying that, like, there'll be new dens. You'll see that he had been around for a while afterwards.
Okay. The next question is Head Sniper 1 asks basically just, why is this placed 100 or hundreds of years in the future? How did Chell get hundreds of years in the future? So I guess if you guys can maybe, for the people that don't know, just talk a little bit about the whole time frame issue.
It's more than 7 years in the future.
No, hundreds. Really, they said hundreds.
No, that's actually a joke on me, because when we were sitting there, they're like, this game takes place in the distant future, and like the first thing I could think of, like, we talking like 7 years? Or are we talking
wow.
like hundreds of years? I'm like, we're not talking, you know, stasis sleep hundreds of years in the future, are we? And they're like,
but they are. Yeah.
It's like, what? Okay, so not that they confirm stasis sleep or anything like that. I mean, that was just me kind of interjecting my own stuff in there. But no, they weren't going to say. They don't want to spoil that. But it hundreds of years in the future, I think, you know, I think it gives them a chance to kind of explore the facility in a different way, because it's kind of fallen to ruins, and it lets them introduce, you know, more interesting concepts. Because the facilities are falling into ruin, you know, Chell has to go behind the scenes. GLaDOS has to let her behind the scenes to get to different test chambers, and you can explore more because things are falling apart. And, I mean, I think that's probably why that decision was made, but, you know, we don't know from a story point what happened. We saw her get dragged off in the alternate ending to Portal. I mean, like I said, we're guessing some sort of stasis sleep or something like that. But
I mean, ultimately, the reality is, if they think it's going to be cooler to set that in the future for the gameplay, they'll come up with a way to justify it within the plot. And
and it's not like, I mean, in Half-Life, stasis sleep has been, you know, putting into stasis and stuff has been used before, so it's not like they couldn't justify it.
Well, the cool thing I was going to say is, for people who don't know, they changed the ending of Portal 1, and there's an update for if you played it on PC, not Xbox. There's an update you can download, and the end is different. Chell gets, you can see, okay, so backing up, there's a moment in Portal 1 where GLaDOS talks about this party associate robot. And so at the end of the game, the party associate robot in this new update actually grabs Chell and drags her back into the facility.
Because he thinks that she's assumed the party submission position.
She's finally
which he's been waiting for her to assume. And when she passes out, he does his job.
Uh-huh. So that sort of sets things up for Portal 2, and I assume Portal 2, the beginning, will
yeah. Will since now, some that, of these since questions. Now, you know, she was kind of catapulted to freedom. It looked like at the end of Portal, but now that there's like this chain of custody over her, we know that the party associate bot took her back. You know, he must have done something with her. So,
cool.
Yeah.
I guess as a final question, this addresses probably what I think everyone would agree is probably the biggest new feature of the game. Zeus asks, how does co-op work exactly? Are Portal colors different for each player, and has Valve implemented these icons telling you your friends where to place portals and such?
Yeah, they hadn't. The portals are different colors. Main player is still the blue and orange. We don't know what the colors are going to be for the second one. They're still working on that. They were actually, which I thought was awesome, they're really looking into the best way to implement the second set of portal colors, because they want to keep in mind people that have issues with color blindness or differentiating colors and stuff, and they need to make sure people aren't going to get the two sets of portals confused.
I'm kind of colorblind. It blows.
Yeah, so they won't commit to they haven't committed to certain colors for the second set of portals yet, but they will be different colors, and you can exit and enter through the other person's portals. Otherwise, they work pretty much the same. I mean, it's there. The communication, you can obviously chat, or there are icons for like put portal here, look here. Kind of like a quick command system.
They also had a way to actually check out the other person's point of view. On PC, I think they're holding tab, and it just shows you the other person from their first-person point of view.
I mean, I can just imagine the complexity of the puzzles going to get.
I mean, we saw some that were like, hey, you know, you need to put a portal here, and then I walk through it, and I put a portal there, and like they were a lot more linear. But one of the ones that we saw that we tried describing in the magazine, and then like last minute we're like, this is nearly impossible to describe, and ended up making a diagram, involved one player, you know, those fizzlers at the end of the levels, they get rid of anything that you have in your hands, and so we worked really hard in this one puzzle as a team to get this ball, and then had to fling ourselves somewhere, and if you went through this fizzler field, your ball would disappear, so the other player had to, like, put project a bridge through their portal, so you'd bonk your head on it on your way up as you flew wildly through the air, and then reorient it in a matter of seconds to catch you on the way down so that you could walk over to a bucket. And I mean, it looks like it's going to get tougher. They said that as far as difficulty goes, they don't want to frustrate you to the point that you're not having fun anymore when it comes to single player, and they're not going to try to do that intentionally in co-op, but they say that they have a little bit more leeway and freedom to challenge people because there's two brains. And so, I mean, we're going to expect some of these puzzles to be challenging.
Yeah, I think
that's what I thought was interesting. They said is when you're playing with somebody else, you're willing to be challenged more.
Yeah.
Because you're playing with a friend, and I mean, two brains work better than one, but also just, I don't know, you're more willing to explore more options when you're playing with a friend because you're just having fun. Mm-hmm. So if you thought Portal 1 was too easy, the Portal 2 co-op might be a little more challenging for you.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that I think wraps up all our questions. I'd like to thank you guys for stopping by. I'm sure people are going to be interested to hear what some of the answers to their burning questions about Portal 2, which I think is going to be super exciting. I think everyone's really excited about it. So we are going to leave you with Still Alive in Full, which was the song we were talking about earlier. And it's, I don't know, it's always a good time to listen to Still Alive. So
it is.
Why don't you listen to it one more time and wait for Portal 2. See ya.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat plan for the people who are still alive. I'm not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now. Into every piece, into a
maybe Black Mesa.